And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, February the 15th, 2025. It is Season 19, Episode number 6. I'm Scott.
Dan, I'm RJ.
And welcome into the show, everybody. You want to get in touch with us, of course. Discord is available to you if you'd like to. InGameChat.net for all the links to be able to reach out to us, get in touch with us, talk to us, communicate with us. We're on Facebook. We are on X or Twitter and Blue Sky as well. You can find us at InGameChat on all of those. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. That'll get all of us, hence the everyone part of it. And we are streaming on Twitch. That is another way to get in touch with us, is through Twitch. You can go and watch us live on Twitch and join in the chat room with everybody else in there live while we broadcast. As I put this up on the screen to make the noise. There we go.
Clap, clap.
Ah, made the noise. Made the noise. I thought I might have screwed something up, but I didn't. Anyway, welcome into the show. And, yeah. Here it is. The day after Valentine's.
It's cheap candy day.
It's cheap chocolate day.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I don't know about chocolate, but it's cheap candy day is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
If it's still out there and you can find it, get that. You know how I am about deals.
Yep.
You can also see how I am about food.
Yeah.
And when they combine, with their powers combined, diabetes. That's what you get, man, when you get cheap food, cheap crap food.
Yep.
Yeah.
In bulk.
Health problems, go!
Yep.
Yeah, anyway. AC Raid says he's in the beginnings of a snowstorm up in Canada way.
Hmm.
Up there. Pretty much everything north of here, and I don't mean here within the state, but north of the state.
Yeah.
Is getting a little bit of rain and a whole lot of ice and snow and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just coming down. And we got more coming our way later on. As far as the weather's concerned, we got more coming in later on tonight and later on tonight. In fact, so much later on tonight, I'll be back here. I will leave and go home and edit the video and get it all set. And some point, likely before midnight tonight, I will be back up here, probably.
Hmm.
I don't want to be, but I'll probably have to be. So, yeah. Oh, he's in St. Lawrence County, New York. Oh. I mean, yeah, it's close enough to Canada. I don't know why I thought you were Canadian, but it did. So, I don't know if that's something I should apologize for or if you're pretty much okay with it. So, either way, I know where you are now. So, I know where you live. I'll come and find you. Let's see. What is it? Games. What have we played? This is a show about games.
Yeah.
What'd you play?
More baseball. MLB The Show 23. Still working on a franchise that I've been working on in that game. Still having a good time doing that. Played a little bit more of The First Ascendant. There's an event going on concerning Valentine's Day. 14 days of doing your dailies will get you a whole bunch of neat stuff for your alts and characters, especially legendary weapons, which you need like five of to make one solid version of it. So I have to do the, instead of doing the grind of getting the parts and the blueprints necessary throughout all the missions, I can just do 15 dailies and have two of them on hand. So if I go through this whole event, I can just build up all the legendary weapons I want.
That's a lot of dailies, 15 dailies.
Yeah,
it supposed is that to be collected over time?
Collected
or?
Over time.
Okay, yeah, I figured you're banking them.
Yeah, the only thing that's got me is the missions that we're doing are dailies, but the rewards don't indicate that they reset. I mean, if I get this benefit, will it reset and I get to do it again, or will it just be a one and done type of thing? I don't know, but I'm about to find out because I'm at eight or nine right now, so I'll be able to pick it up.
It's Warframe, right?
No, this is the First Ascendant.
First Ascendant,
but it's similar to it. But it's similar to Warframe,
right? Okay, because I was going to check with AC Wraith because like he's a Warframe guy. Mm-hmm. But no, that's First Ascendant. Okay, yeah. It sounded, because honestly, what you were talking like sounded like you're talking about Warframe.
Yeah,
there for
I mean,
a bit.
Look, there's a whole bunch of similarities if you compare the two. Yeah, it is. So outside of that, a little bit more of a Grand Theft Auto Online. Try to get some grind some cash in that. And I did try to make another run at Bellatro. Mm-hmm. Try to get a run through, I think, Blue Deck I tried this time around. And I, of course, did make it. But that's the charm of Bellatro. Lather and rinse until you actually get it, because it is luck of the draw RNG.
Let's stop for a moment there on Bellatro and talk about the fact that Bellatro is getting an update. Mm-hmm. The 1.1 update. And I'm not exactly sure when is that coming in. Now titled the 1.1 update, Playstack has first revealed that Bellatro would be headed our way sometime in 2025, back in August. But let's see, what is it? I'm trying to read here when we're getting that. Let's see. Local Thunk was reluctant to reveal too much of what's coming in Update 1.1, saying, "I'm not going to get into exactly what's going to be in it, because that also means I can't pivot if something new doesn't work. I think it's healthier if I keep my cards close to my chest, than give you the best version of whatever this new content update is." He's still wanting to spill some of the beans, though. In addition to adding new jokers to the game, the update will see an overhaul to at least one pre-existing card, the Matador. As it stands, Matador gives a cash boost whenever your hand triggers a boss blind ability. But the Bellatro wiki notes that it doesn't work with all boss blinds and can occasionally give results inconsistent with what one might expect. The other confirmed change is coming to the Blue Stake difficulty, a modifier that lowers your number of discards by one. He says, the developer says, "I play a lot too, and I notice flaws all the time." It sounds like he's still considering whether he wants to keep tweaking the game after 1-1. "I don't have any imminent game ideas I want to make. I have thought of other game ideas in the past, but every time my mind goes down that road, I immediately think, you can't do that right now. You're in the middle of something else," which I think has served me very well. So, yeah, I don't know when this is coming out. There is no date on when we're going to get that. But, yeah, we're getting a 1.1 update at some point this year to Bellatro. What else?
Let's see. I did play a little bit more of Sniper Elite 3. I did one of the main mission after the initial one. Mm-hmm. And a lot of sneaking and stealthing and things of that nature. In fact, I was able to pretty much pull off the main objective, take out these three commanders at this base. And come to find out, there's a whole section of the map that I didn't even touch. And when I did so, I realized there was a whole bunch of, while you're here, why don't you take care of this while you're at it? Because I was sneaking through an area and there was a whole bunch of trucks lined up. And then a message came in like, "Oh, see that motor pool?
Take out the motor pool.
So I'm sneaking around the area to find the best vantage point to take these trucks out. And I come upon this area of the map where there are these soldiers in nest turrets, and they're surveying this area. And I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't notice this on the map at all. So there's a whole bunch of areas in here you could possibly go through without even seeing, as long as you get your mission done. But as I was playing the game, I was thinking, why is it I can't have so much fun playing Sniper Elite or a game like this, but I get bored to tears playing something like Monster Hunter solo? I mean, I'm doing the stealthy thing.
Yeah, the stealthy thing where you're not really doing a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of action going on.
Yeah, Sniper Elite is not a run-and-gun type game.
It's not, but it's more of a setting a trap and being patient and waiting to see that trap play out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're running and gunning, you were on autopilot. You're on, you know, let me turn the switch to, and I am not calling anybody dumb, but when it's like dumb mode, you know, pray and spray is essentially when.
Yeah, I've said it before. Turn your brain off and just play.
Yeah, when you're going in the first person shooter. Or, well, what were you compared it to? Monster Hunter World.
Monster Hunter.
Well, okay, maybe not. Monster Hunter World.
There's
something that goes with that, because you can lay traps for Monster Hunter World. In some ways you can lay those traps and do that. I was watching more for whatever the new Monster Hunter is. I know that there's one out there, and I was looking at it, and I was like, what? Because I was trying to remember what pulled me into Monster Hunter World when it originally released.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was because there was just nothing else happening, and I was interested in that because it was the big release at the time, and there was just nothing else going on, and that's why I was drawn to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because watching this stuff now, even though it's being made, I don't know how many years later, so it should look better, right?
Yeah.
And it does. But it was not pulling. It was not pulling me in as it did before. And again, the first time I played Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, that's what I was playing. Yeah.
The first time I played that, I had never played a Monster Hunter game in my life. I didn't know anything about it. Didn't know how it worked.
Same here.
I came up. You know, I was able to figure out how this whole loop happens and what you have to do. And I did some of it, and I played, you know, some of the story in it. But it just couldn't hold me. Mm-hmm. It could not hold me. And so now when I see that stuff, it's like, eh, I gave you a shot and I'm not interested, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not pulling me. The trailers that I see for it, it's not something that I say, hey, maybe I should give that a second shot. No.
Mm-mm.
None of that is happening.
Yeah.
So I can kind of understand that. I feel like they're Drunk Degenerates, if he was in the chat room or if he's listening, when he does listen to this, because I know he played that.
Mm-hmm.
And by no means am I a Monster Hunter World or Monster Hunter fans dumb at all, but there is something different about the way Sniper Elite plays and the way that Monster Hunter plays. You can lay those traps in Monster Hunter, and you can lay those traps in Sniper Elite. But eventually in Monster Hunter, you got to go and hack and slash your way against the monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to take your rewards back to the thing, and you got to do this all over again and go out and do it again.
Yeah.
And again, and again, and again, and again. In Sniper Elite, sure, you're doing this stuff over and over again, but you're also advancing a story. You are not on a loop of, let me go grab my resources, turn them in, make new armor, gear up for this next... No, no, no. You're being sent out there, and you got to figure out, what's the path of the guards? What's the path of the vehicles? Where is my best vantage point to get further in to the map so I can get a better vantage point to get into my, you know, to whatever my thing is? To try and compare those, whatever. But I think you're way more engaged in a game like Sniper Elite than you would be in Monster Hunter.
I think what it boiled down to when I gave it enough thought was that Sniper Elite, or a game like that, there's more things there to break the monotony.
Yeah.
Because there's only one, you're only hunting one creature in, from my experience, for Monster Hunter Worlds per mission. You're hunting this one beast and all the things you have to go through to take, you have to
fight. And you can kill other beasts while you're on that hunt.
Yeah.
As far as I remember it, again, I could be wrong because I've only played the one game.
Yeah.
And that was very open world. You go to the S section that you know this monster is supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You lay the trap. You kill him, that sort of thing. But in your whatever traversal to get there,
mm-hmm.
you have to fight other monsters and defend yourself to even get to that point,
mm-hmm.
or to unlock a fast travel location or unlock a base that you can start from or whatever the case may be. I'm really trying to pull from a memory that just ain't built too well in my head what I played.
My memory was that it was a real monotonous. Solo, I guess.
Solo felt shore-like. Ooh.
Yeah, but it's best with friends playing multiplayer.
Apparently,
in that game.
Yeah. Apparently,
it's much better with playing with others. But if it's solo, everything felt real slow and monotonous. So I'm thinking that was the issue with between Monster Hunter and Sniper Elite. More variety, something that just breaks the monotony completely. I mean, when you run up on multiple enemies, having to look at all of them and having to manage all of their locations and how they move and try to mask sounds and all types of things. There's a whole bunch of stuff for you to do at a faster rate, mm-hmm. I believe, as opposed to that. Yeah. But other than those games, that was pretty much it this week.
Yeah, I was considering playing this morning, actually, and I looked last night, too. Just like, I gotta... So... For me,
mm-hmm.
I, air quotes for those listening, finished Astrobot.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I air quote that is because I have completed the main story, but there are things to do. Mm-hmm. There is, in fact, just this morning I unlocked another level, which apparently is the final level of the main game. Yes, I have completed the campaign. And then I got all my puzzle pieces, which unlocked a secret level that will give me my final bot, which would make it 301. However, because this game released in September, there has been DLC released, free.
Okay.
Of new stages. There's time trial stages. Mm-hmm. There is a Christmas stage. All these stages have new bots to rescue.
Okay.
So my total bot stuff, you start at 300. Technically 301. You don't know it until you get later in the game. You start at 300. And now I'm at like 319 or 320 now that I have to do because of all these different levels that have opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And new levels are being released every week this month, but it started with this week, but I think it's the next 4 weeks. So there was a new level released on Thursday of this week. There'll be a new level released next Thursday, a new one after that, and a new one after that. So I think 4 to 5 new released levels getting released week by week by week here. Mm-hmm. Completely free. I thought that was interesting. When you do beat the game, these other levels unlock. You don't have to go and download them. They are already built into the package or downloaded when you own the game. So don't try and seek them out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try and rush through the game to go play these other levels. It's not worth it. Finish Astrobot, though. I can't say enough good stuff about that game. I really, really... All the awards that it's won and everything else, that's... Yeah. Completely well-deserved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know... And I recently bought a lot of platformers just over the holidays and everything. Penny's Big Breakaway is a platformer made by the same people that did Sonic Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Sonic, I grabbed Sonic Frontiers and Sonic Shadow Generations. I got Pepper Grinder, which is another platformer in a sense. I got Pac-Man.
It's like a fast-paced Dig Dug.
Yeah. I got a Pac-Man Repack or whatever that is. That's another platformer type thing.
Yeah, free on PlayStation Plus, I believe.
Repack. Yeah. I got a lot of platformers. And yes, I am eager to play them. And I don't want to make the comparisons. But... there can't be comparisons made because next to Mario, and I hazard to pick a Mario game that I could compare this to, but next to Mario, Astrobot is just it's a platinum platformer. I cannot praise this game enough. From the mechanics that it does, from the music, from just the charm and the cutesiness and everything else. All the nostalgia that's wrapped up in there. I mean, it really feels like... And I'm not going into the Member Berries thing from South Park on this, because it doesn't feel like it's cheap nostalgia. It isn't just like, hey, we threw this in here because we did. You know, when they use music and when they use levels and things like that, they massively tweak them. And you'll hear another one today. You'll hear another track from the Astrobot soundtrack. But they massively tweak them to fit into the Astrobot world. And they do a really fantastic job with absolutely everything that they've done. And it was just every time I would start a level or they would throw something new at me, just this big grin would come across my face. Now, you would also hear some frustration when I was failing some levels. Because there's some challenge levels that if you fail, you got to start from the beginning. There are no checkpoints on these. What's interesting about those is that it is a... You can, if you're paying attention, and I know we zone out when we play these games sometimes, where we're not necessarily paying attention to what we're doing, but in these challenge modes, I easily pay attention to the fact that I can get a little bit further with each time I die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I died there, so I go back to the beginning. Oh, I made it past that section, but I died at the next one. Go back to the beginning. Ah, I made it past that. I mean, sometimes I can get through them with a lot of luck and not a problem. But a lot of the times, I'm trying again and again and again, and I'm getting further and further and further and further until, you know, I might have put in 30 minutes, but I finally got to the end of the level. And I'll never go back and play it again.
Is it a health bar or a one hit and done?
It's a one hit and done.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a... in normal levels, you got checkpoints. So, you know, when you come across one, it'll light up a checkpoint, and then you're good. You die, you'll start back on that point. But on the challenge levels, they're a lot smaller, but they're way more difficult in the platforming aspect of them. Mm-hmm. And there's no checkpoints. So really, you got to get through it and do it. So that's fine. There's no complaints about that, because trust me when I tell you that if I can get through that, those challenge levels, and some of them feel like just way difficult that you can't. I got through them. You can get through them, no problem. You know, if you're worried about it or hesitant about it, nah, don't be. You'll be able to do it. I promise you, you will be. But yeah, finished up Astrobot. Oh God, even when you finish and the credits roll, man, rarely do games let you do it, but you get to play the credits, and I love when you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one where you can actually play the level while the credits roll. You know, you're interacting with the credits. You're doing all, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, interactive credits is a nice touch to
it is.
The game, because man, there are so many credits you like X to skip, skip, and you can't skip. No, you have to sit here and watch this entire thing go through.
Now, granted, when you do finish the level that involves
or cut off the system,
most of the main credits,
yeah,
more credits roll at the end. But there's also there's split screen, so you got a video on one side and you got credits on the other, and the video on the other side is giving names to all of these enemies that you faced, which I had no idea they had names. But now I know they do. Will I ever use them? No. It's just like, that's the guy with red spikes. That's the guy that charges you and you have to kill him with your laser beams.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that I can just come up and smash. That's the bunny one that's going to smash. You know, there's I don't have names, but I know what they do, and I get out of their way. Or, you know, I know how to take them out. So, anyway, fantastic game. Game of the year, absolutely, that it won. Perfect. Just fantastic. Really, really fantastic game. So I beat that. What else did I beat? I mentioned I beat Psychroma the other day. And played more Marvel Snap. And I also streamed all the way through. I played The Operator.
Okay.
Yeah. Last Sunday. I streamed that on our Twitch channel. I went all the way from the beginning of it to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 to 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, depending, but it is a game that goes at a pretty quick pace. Sadly, not that I'm not necessarily sad about it, but there. I mean, it's a story. It is a story that you play through from beginning to end, and once you're done, you're done. There's nothing to go back to. There's no new cases to solve. There's nothing. Once you go through this, you're done with it. The only reason to go back would be maybe to grab some achievements if that's what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that there's more to it. I am hoping that new cases will get added or there's something that'll come later, because it's a lot of fun. I was honestly hoping it was going to be more something, not necessarily like Papers, Please, but like just a constant, like, hey, solve this case. Solve this case. Help this person solve this case. But no, it's a complete story that you're involved in. And It was fun, and I think it's the $9 that I paid for it, pretty good, right there. I don't know exactly what it goes for now. If it's 15, that's probably okay. If it's 25 or 20, I would say, I don't know about that for me. But I enjoyed it. I really did. I loved it. There were plenty of times where I was like, ooh, it's doing this, and this is really cool. And then there were plenty of times where I was like, I don't know what it wants me to do. I can't really figure out what it's asking me to do here. There was another one that was real hectic, and I did not do well in that section, which is interesting to note. I didn't do well in that section, but the game kept moving. So it wasn't like I had to solve the problem that I was given, because I failed, and the game kept moving.
So no real consequences.
Yeah, I mean, there's consequences in the sense that now some of the people you're interacting with don't really trust your judgment because you failed at a different task.
Yeah, but the story's going to keep moving regardless.
Yeah, the story's going to keep moving. And honestly, I don't know if it changes that story. That'd be an interesting thing to go through and, like, just really be horrible at it and see how the story plays out if you're just really bad at your job.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It was a lot of fun. It was great. Little 90s aesthetic with the... I love the fact that, well, you know this from the demo, that, when you first start up, it gives you, you're supposedly working, it's not the FBI, it's like the FDI or something, but anyway, you're supposed to be working for the FBI, and it gives you your computer screen and your login. It's like, what's your username, what's your password? And it doesn't matter what you type on the keyboard, it types out what it's supposed to type out.
Yeah.
Which is always fun to do, whenever it's like, hey, I'm going to give you all this stuff, now type this, you know, break into the mainframe, and you just get to press a bunch of buttons, and it all just fills it out for you with everything you're supposed to have. So it was very fun. But I liked it. Again, I streamed it. So it's on our Twitch channel. If you want to go and watch that, you can. But it is, given that this is a single-player game and it's a one-and-done thing, you will spoil the entire game for yourself by watching that stream. So I would say don't do it. And I hate that because, you know, it's like, hey, go watch us play. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you plan on playing that game, don't, because it'll spoil everything for you. Yeah. So anyway, I was thinking about what I was going to play again, another game I finished called Boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It is a puzzle-type game.
Yeah.
I wrapped that one up this morning, too.
Oh, by the way, Operator is right now $14 on Steam. Well, $13.99, so yeah, $14.
If you can find it, another $5 off, $10's pretty good for this. $14 to $15, yeah, I don't know. If there's planned content to come, probably all right. You know, as it stands now, God, it just feels real short. But I mean, you know, your only thing, it's your decision to do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do that. But we also have a list coming up in the show about all the different sales throughout the year that Steam is going to have. So, you know, maybe wait for that if you're going to wait. If you find it at Key Shop for cheaper or something, sure, go for it. Which I hate to say that because the guy that made the game started following us on Blue Sky. it's one developer.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in light of that, sure, spend the $15. I got it for the $9 because it was bundled with some other game that I had, and that brought it down to like $9, or maybe it was just under $10 for me to pay, which was fine. But yeah, being that it's a sole developer, sure, go ahead, pay the $15, get the guy his money because it's a really good game. Mm-hmm. I want to see more from it, so probably yeah, go ahead, spend the extra $5. That would be nice. So yeah, finish Boxes, and now I'm trying to think of what I'm going to play next. You know, what am I going to sink my teeth into? I've got some Astrobot levels to play, but I mean, I'm done with that game as far as the campaign's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, what am I going to jump into next? I don't want to jump into a platformer because I've already done that and I am likely tainted for platformers for a while. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to be compared to that and nothing's going to compare to that. But I was looking on Game Pass at Sniper Elite Resistance because it's on Game Pass, and I thought, sure, I could do that rather than buying it. I've got Game Pass. I'll go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, I have Sniper Elite 5. Let me go look at that. Come to find out, Sniper Elite 5 is also on Game Pass, but I also own it on Steam. So then I was looking into maybe running that. And the more I looked into stuff, as you can tell, the less I was not playing anything. And it got around to, you know, clock ran out on me, and I didn't play anything. So
yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't picked whatever my next game's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Avowed, Thar 6 is talking about Avowed. Avowed was going to be, if I was looking at this, because I know you can do it with South of Midnight, which is a game coming out in April from the Compulsion guys, the guys that did Contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Their game's going to be on Game Pass. It's going to have early access to it where, you know, if you buy whatever, this special edition, you get to play the game 5 days early. The special edition upgrade, if you're already a Game Pass member, is only $10. So if I wanted to play it 4 days, 5 days earlier, I just pay $10 and I've got the game. I thought that was going to be the case with Avowed. It's not. Avowed, I would have to pay like $20 in order to pay a few days or play a few days earlier, and I was just like, no, not doing it. So I did see it, and I was planning on firing up Avowed. I really, really was. It's Obsidian Entertainment. You know, it's the New Vegas guys, which I've heard great things about, and it's also not tied to any other property except for it's not Path of Exile, Pillars of Eternity, I think, is the is sort of the universe that it's built in, but you don't need to have knowledge of that in order to enjoy what it's doing. Not that you needed to have knowledge of Fallout to enjoy what New Vegas was doing, but if you liked Fallout, you'll like, you know, if you liked Fallout 3, you'll like Fallout New Vegas, right? I don't know that that still applies. Like, if you liked Pillars of Eternity, you'll like Avowed, because they're very different. Pillars of Eternity is a nice little top-down group mechanic dungeon crawler type thing. whatever that is, hack and, it's not a hack and slash, but Diablo like or something like that.
I was about to say something like Diablo.
Yeah, not necessarily, but close. I mean, it's got that sort of, what would be a better one? Like a Baldur's Gate 3 type of thing or something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just group mechanic type stuff. And Avowed, from what I can tell, is very much single player, first person spell casting.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy adventure thing. And I'm absolutely interested in it. But I got to wait until Tuesday when it releases. Or Thursday? He wrote Thursday. Thar 6 wrote Avowed's on Thursday.
Must be Tuesday.
Probably. It's like a mixture of Thursday and Tuesday. Yeah. Thursday. But yeah, so the 18th, which is Tuesday.
Okay.
Which is when that comes out. So I definitely will. But in the meantime, what am I going to do? I don't know.
Hey, you got a backlog.
I do. I've got a great backlog. And I just don't know if I want to jump into, because I was eyeballing Ghosts of Tsushima. I was eyeballing Horizon Zero Dawn. And I'm just like, man, do I want to jump into those right now?
I got a bunch of games in my backlog to get back into. Some to finish. Some to start. Like I was thinking about Chicken Police. The other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I started that, and it's been a long time since I got back into that case that I was working on.
Well, I loaded up House of Da Vinci 3. I installed that.
That's a puzzler, right?
Puzzler again. Yeah. You know, it's nice that I just kind of keep my puzzles going, where I can just do a couple of puzzles every Saturday and Sunday morning as a nice little, like, little thing, sip my coffee while I'm playing some puzzles, and then move on to my game, my main game, whatever that's going to be. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But I did install that, so we'll see where I end up with it. But that's what I've been playing, and now we have got to take a break. When we come back, we'll jump into the news. It is our, I think this is our new game week. Yeah, because I got Astrobot. So this is our new game week. This is... Again, we're like in August of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Visions of Mana, and it's called Roiling Surge is the name of the track. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. Music from Shadow of the Ninja Reborn. It's just a stage level soundtrack. So, welcome in. Welcome back in, everybody, here to In-Game Chat. And let's check in with our news. What we got going on? Yeah, I was just checking on Steve there. He's playing Icarus just like he said he would. I don't know, what do we have? We talked about Blatro. Oh, we did have the Sony State of Play. I don't know if you caught any of that or looked through some of the games that are getting out. There was about a
It's about a 2 hour, under 2 hour. Or no. I don't even think it was less than an hour, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 40 to 45 minutes.
Yeah. You got that award show type mentality on that one. It's like 40 minutes of actual stuff and then like...
I don't know where I got my 2 hour. Yeah. I don't know where I got my hour and 40 minute thing from. Mm-hmm. Like it was some kind of E3 thing. It was not that long at all. No, it was like 45 minutes is what it was. So, yeah, I mean, it's like how much of my... Of course, I watched it live. So it's like how much of this is... It's one of these other... Sometimes I can watch them live. And then if I can't, I just find the video and I skip the stuff I don't care about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As soon as I see something come across the screen, I'm like... That's not really for me. I'll just zip right through it. But when you watch it live, you can't. You kind of have to...
stuck with it.
Yeah, you stuck with it, or you just use it as a bathroom break. Most of the time, though, I can stay engaged with it. Mm-hmm. I can still look at it and say, I will never play that game, but I will continue to watch how this plays out. But I have no desire ever to play that game. So we'll go over those coming up in the next segment with the Sony State of Play. A lot of people. Well, we'll get into that. We'll talk about it when we get there, which is the way we should do it, is just talk about it when we get there. So, what did we have? I don't know. It says GTA 5 has now sold 210 million copies. That's a lot. But is it a lot when you consider how long GTA 5 has been around?
Yeah.
How many different versions of the game has been around?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got close to that 100 million sold probably back when it first released. They probably hit that 60 million mark early in the first release of it.
Yep.
Or the 100 million mark early in the first release. So coming out and being like, well, we've sold 210 now. Yeah, but you've been out for like 15 years.
Yeah, 2013.
Okay.
So,
well, you've been out for, you know, 12 years, or going on 12 years, and you've had releases on PC, releases on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. You also had releases on the Series X and the PS5. You also had releases on the PC. You've only gotten 210 million? Well, which is not a problem. I'm not, you know, sure, be proud of that. That's fine. I just, with a game like you, I would have thought that'd be a lot higher. Maybe that's just me. I just can't be surprised or shocked, you know. Like if it was Balatro that had sold 210, or if it was Baldur's Gate 3, something way more recent that has sold 210. And I'm sure you can find that with some games. But yeah, sure. Elden Ring, I don't know where it's at, but it's, you know, it's got a good amount, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What else? Steam games that force you to watch advertisements are being banned on the Steam storefront. And that's fine. I've never run across a game that forces you to watch advertisements. Mm-hmm. Never have I ever seen that in a Steam game. Probably not the kind of games I'm downloading, but or even looking to play. But I've never seen that before, so that was interesting that they were banning those games, or even that those games existed. So there was a PlayStation Network outage last week. In fact, before we went on the show last Saturday, the outage has been going on for over like 12 or 15 hours, and it had just come back. Sony has stepped forward and explained what exactly happened to cause such an event to occur. And they've also provided 5 days of PlayStation Plus Basic for its users. The Ask PlayStation account on Twitter posted the following statement. Network services have fully recovered from an operational issue. We apologize for the inconvenience and thank the community for their patience. All PlayStation Plus members will automatically receive an additional 5 days of service. The operational issue they mentioned is very vague, of course, so we don't know the exact nature of the outage nor what caused it, but it's led to a portion of users online urging others to change their passwords following a massive outage that took place back in 2011, where we did find out that a lot of our stuff was compromised, and Sony did a massive Remember, that was when Sony did that whole... Remember when they did the press conference?
Mm-hmm.
And... was it that they... Because I'm not versed in Japanese culture. And Japanese... What's the word?
Just say procedure.
Traditions.
Yeah. Procedure, yeah.
Because it was when all three of the executives from Sony... did that bow thing,
mm-hmm.
and it was, and when they were doing it, just camera flashes going off all over the place.
Yeah,
because I guess that is
it's like a performed apology.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, but also just a big deal to see that being done.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, and I don't know if it's ashamed or if there's shame involved in that or something. I'm not sure. It's obviously tradition and culture, but it just, I remember that happening and I remember it seeming to be a big deal,
mm-hmm.
Because they did, you know, lose the trust of their customers.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was a big deal, but people are saying, hey, you know, just as a precaution, maybe why don't you change your password? But also they're pretty good about telling us when things have been compromised. No, you idiot, they aren't. because it took a while for us to find that out back in 2011, too.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, nothing was said until later, and then they're like, oh yeah, that did actually happen, and we apologize, and you need to change your stuff. They didn't immediately come out with it.
Mm-mm.
When that happened. So, yeah. Anyway, if you're a PlayStation Plus person, then, you know, maybe change it, maybe not. Your call. So, we did get a release date for Elden Ring Night Rain. That is going to be in May. It'll cost $40. And RJ, even during the break, was mentioning that he's hoping for at some point, a combo package that comes with Elden Ring, the DLC, and Night Rain as well.
Yeah,
at some
Shadow
point.
Of the Erdtree. Because it was one of the things I planned to pick up, but I hadn't done it yet. And then I hear about Night Rain, and maybe there'll be some bundle package, like a Game of the Year edition or something like that.
Maybe. Given that Night Rain's kind of its own, what do we call it? Standalone?
Yeah.
Because you don't need Elden Ring to play Night Rain? I don't think you do.
Plus, it's like that thing with Spider-Man, the Miles Morales.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't need the base game to play it. You can play just that one game. And that's kind of what Night... It's also why it's only $40.
Mm-hmm.
Night Rain is. So, I don't know.
Think how much Shadow of Erdtree was when it first came out.
I want to say it was 60.
No. The Shadow
of the Erdtree. Oh, Shadow of the
Erdtree. Yeah, the DLC.
I think it was 40.
That was $40.
30 or 40. You know, mm-hmm. I'd be off by 10 one way or the other.
Yeah, close enough.
I think. Because if I'm 30 and it's off, it's going to be 40. If I'm 40 and it's off, it's going to be 30. So, it's in that range somewhere, I believe. And if you look it up and it's different, I you know, that could be wrong. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. Checking on my time. Oh, we got Dice Award winners to talk about, and we'll go over those. Astrobot, big winner in that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Astrobot gets nominated for almost any category that it's in. There's a very good chance that it's winning that category, depending on what it is and depending on who the other nominees are. But for the most part, it kind of swept, with the exception of like one or two awards.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll get into the Dice Awards. What do we got? BAFTAs, I think, coming up. And yeah, so. Oh, the Steam sales. Yeah. Let's talk about those. Every single Steam sale event that is planned for 2025. Oh, this is nice. It's not only the sales events, but it's the Next Fest dates, you know, where you get to demo these games. So,
right.
Couch Co-op Fest is going on now. On the 24th, it'll be Steam Next Fest. That's where you can play a whole bunch of demos for a whole bunch of brand new games, and it's a lot of fun to do. That's how I found Balatro.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's that. Visual Novel Fest is happening March 3rd through the 10th. The Steam Spring Sale is the 13th through the 20th of March. Ooh, City Builder and Colony Sim Fest. That's late March, at the end of that month. Sokoban Fest?
Okay.
I don't know what that is. That's in April.
Okay.
late April. Even later in April is the War Games Fest. Then you got your Creature Collector Fest in May, Zombies versus Vampires Fest in May. You got Steam Next Fest, the June edition. That will be in June. Fishing Fest. They're going to highlight fishing games. That'll be interesting.
Got Sega Bass Fishing in there.
I would imagine it doesn't say. It just tells me that June 23rd, June 16th through the 23rd is Fishing Fest. I like fishing games.
Yeah.
I don't play them a lot, but I like them. I like any game that gives me a fishing mini game. Mm-hmm. Or at least lets me fish. Not necessarily that it's got to be a mini game where I have to sit there and tap a bunch of buttons that pop up on screen or something like that. Let me throw my bait in. Let me just sit there, wait for vibration on the controller, and press a button to reel in, and I'm good.
Well, that's sad.
What?
Sega Bass Fishing is no longer available on the Steam store.
No! There's probably something else there, though.
Yeah.
Like Sega Bass Fishing World or something like that. That took its place.
Nope, shame.
There's a lot of fishing games, actually.
Yeah.
By the way. We got Fishing Fest. Okay, Steam Summer Sale is in the late June to early July. As it normally is when you get the holiday coming around. Automation Fest, whatever that is. Racing Fest. They have a 4X Fest. Third Person Shooter Fest. Political Sim Fest. That's in September. The Autumn Sale. All right, this is interesting. The Autumn Sale used to be the, what, Black Friday Sale? Yeah, the Autumn Sale used to hit around Black Friday, that weekend of Black Friday. That's when they would do the Autumn Sale. They have moved that now because it was too close to the Winter Sale, which happens a month later, or at least the way the months line up sometimes.
Right.
You have a very short time in between the Autumn Sale and the Winter Sale that they would do. So they're moving the Autumn Sale into September now.
Okay.
Instead of November. It'll run September 29th through October the 6th. So there. Then you've got another Next Fest in October. You've got the Scream Fest, which is your horror games, in late October. Animal Fest in mid-November. Sports Fest in early December. And the Winter Sale at the end of the year, as usual. So there you go. All of that. Nice. The entire lineup of all the Steam sales and fests. Kind of like that. All right. Let's see. We've got a few more, about two more minutes here when we get up to the top of the hour here. Still trying to think about what else. I was trying to think of what else I was going to play. Just going through my list here. I'm not looking to buy anything new. Although I did pick up some new games that were on sale for, like, cheap.
Yeah.
Fanatical has a make-your-own bento box. And it's a bunch of, like, a ton of games. But, you know, if you add two games, then they amount to about $7 and some change each. And as you add more, that price goes down. You know, you put five games in there and the entire, you know, a lot of them would come into only paying like $6 per game, which is pretty good. I was able to get the Coffee Talk Episode 1 and Coffee Talk Episode 2 running for $25, by the way. I put them in the cart, and I put Spirit Tea in the cart. Spirit Tea running for $20. The Coffee Talk stuff was around $26, $25. I got them for $14. All three games, Coffee Talk Episode 1, Episode 2, and Spirit Tea, all three of them for $15. So Coffee Talk's, I believe, maybe on Game Pass. It's very possible that they are. I am not sure. They are Steam Deck verified, and so I feel like that would be a nice little Steam Deck type game that I can portability use or whatever. I know I picked up some other games, but they've all been at, like, you know, $2. See, Eyes of Aura, I picked that up for, like, $3, you know? Just some cheap ones on my wish list. Oh, and I got a bunch of free games from the Epic Games Store and from Amazon Prime Gaming. So there's a lot of those out there for you as well. to just expand your catalog with games you'll never likely play.
Yeah, build your backlog.
I know.
Like we have.
Just build it. And here I am talking about, I bought what? I bought like four games.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am like, what am I going to play next? I don't know what to play. You just bought four games. Why not try and pick up one of those? I don't want to. Not feeling it. Well, you felt it enough to buy it. Well, whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, we got to go. We're at the top of the hour. Let's come back and talk about Sony games. And then we'll talk about awards and stuff like that. Here is music from Goat Simulator 3, which came out in August of last year. This track is called Hillbilly Goat. We'll be back with more Fin Game Chat right after this. Hey, welcome back to In Game Chat with music from a game called Peglin. It's pinball related,
okay.
I believe. This is the Forest Boss track.
Let's see, Peglin is a pachinko roguelike.
Okay, not pinball, okay. But kind of, you know, Plinko like.
Yeah.
But yeah. I've got it on my wish list on Steam, waiting for it to drop to a price that'll, you know, entice me enough to say, sure, I'll pick that up now.
Yeah.
But yeah. Welcome back in. So, let's talk about Sony's State of Play that we got to see and everything that was announced at the Sony State of Play. Open this up here and show it all off. What do we got? Monster Hunter Wilds. Brand new trailer for that. It's coming out on February the 28th. And, well, that's it. Monster Hunter Wilds. More Monster Hunter. And I just did not, it did not rope me in. I know a lot of people are loving it and looking forward to it, but nope, didn't do it. We also got New Shinobi.
Yeah.
Art of Vengeance. Coming out on August 28th. That looked really cool. For a minute there, I thought it was Mark of the Ninja. I don't know if you remember that, but it's from way back. Mark of the Ninja was a like a little platformer, side-scroller type thing.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at this and thought about Revenge of Shinobi.
Yeah.
And the aspect of that. And the same folks that made the Streets of Rage 4.
Did this, yes.
Yeah, did this one. So yeah, the art style. Very familiar, but
who is Streets of Rage 4? Don't Nod, is that what that is? Or no,
Dotemu
or Dot Emu is what I would call him, but you're right, that's what it's called. New Sonic Racing game, Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, brand new game for the Sonic Racing franchise, which I hear is really, really good. I've heard Sonic Racing Transformed is one of the best kart racers up there with Mario Kart. But I've never actually played it. I own it, but I have not played it. But yeah, we're looking at that with a closed beta test set for, or closed network test set for February the 21st. So I would say this is coming out pretty soon for that. A new Digimon game called Digimon Storytime Stranger, taking players across worlds and time itself. So says the tagline. We should get that sometime this year. Never been a Digimon guy. You?
No.
Like gaming or cards, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. No. Never was a thing for me. Never did get into... That never pulled me in. Lost Soul Aside. The pre-orders are available. It comes out on the 19th, and this is the first time I've heard of it. Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii. We will get a new demo. Actually, we do have a new demo that is out now for Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii. Dave the Diver is getting Yakuza added to the game. Is it pronounced Ichiban or Ichiban?
Ichiban.
Ichiban. Ichiban's Holiday DLC, which will put Yakuza into the game. That's coming up in April. I have Dave the Diver. I really should put more time into it with all the DLC that's out for this thing.
I heard enough talk about it. It does look interesting, though.
Yeah, just tons of stuff. WWE 2K5, sure. Borderlands 4, sure. I can't get excited about Borderlands.
Yeah, I mean, I think my interest started dropping off after the pre-sequel.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get into the characters that they had in there.
What's amazing is to see them pitch this. Randy Pitchford, which is the guy that runs Gearbox, and whoever else is with him as well, they are just so excited about Borderlands 4. And they're pushing that enthusiasm on the viewer, like, everybody's excited about Borderlands 4. We're going to get to see Borderlands 4. Let's watch Borderlands 4 trailer. Yeah. There's no hype there for me.
Yeah.
It feels like they're the only two that are excited about it. There probably could be a lot of people excited about it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The problem, I think, hit them whenever they decided to take the Epic money and release it only on Epic Game Stores for a year. Mm-hmm. Epic Game Store had a loose exclusivity for a year with that before it hit Steam. And I feel like if they had just done that, everybody gets it at the same time on the same day, would have been a little bit different. But I think you divided your audience when you did that, as far as the PC is concerned. Yeah, you also could have divided the audience because maybe the game sucked. I don't know. But Borderlands 3 was not... I don't think was as well received as previous Borderlands, and I don't necessarily know that 4 is going to bring them back in either. Because in looking at it, it's more the same.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what you want as an audience, but if your audience isn't there to begin with, then it's probably not what they want. Or you're still pulling those in, but you're not pulling in anybody new.
Yeah.
And if the people you're pulling in isn't cutting it for the previous games, they're not going to be cutting it for this brand new game. Got to do something to bring new players in. Fresh blood, that sort of thing, to bring in your game to get them hooked. Something new. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's whatever Borderlands 4 is offering. Mm. But I don't know. I'd love to maybe talk to some fans of that or something to know how they feel about it, to know if they feel the same way about it. You know, talk to you about the pre-sequel.
Yeah.
Is where you left off with. Yeah. Is that the one where it was on the moon?
I think it was.
I remember having
something on the moon or something like that.
It was the pre-sequel.
Yeah, but there was nothing. It was like 1 and 2 had characters I could, I could pull behind, you know, someone I could get with and play and use without issue. But then play the pre-sequel, and none of the characters interested me enough to play it, and then the story was kind of lackluster to me. And then 3, I was like, nope, none of the characters here appealed to me, and I just left off from there.
Yeah. It was not, it just didn't... Yeah, I don't know. Not good. About the only thing I'm interested in Borderlands at the moment would be the Telltale series that I have not played.
Mm-hmm.
Tales of Pandora, whatever it's called. Tales from Pandora, something like that. The Borderlands Telltale game. That has some interest for me. Because it's absolutely not Borderlands gameplay.
Yeah.
It is Borderlands everything else, but it is not Borderlands gameplay. That I know of, you know, I haven't played it, but I'm pretty sure it's not. Maybe that's something I'll go back and do, because I haven't played a lot of Telltale games.
What's left?
For me?
Yeah.
The Game of Thrones Telltale game I have not played. Borderlands Telltale game I have not played. They did 2 Batman games that I have not played that were Telltale series as well. I haven't finished The Walking Dead.
I think the only one I played was a Wolf Among Us.
Right, I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of their stuff that I actually haven't done. They did The Expanse. They did one on The Expanse from the Amazon Prime series, space sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
I haven't messed around with that either. For Telltale. So I'm, you know, thinking about things to play. Maybe I'll look into that.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. Let's see. We got a new look at Split Fiction. This one, okay. Split Fiction is put out by Haze Light Studios. It's the same people that did Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, I think, A Way Out, and It Takes Two. They specialize in couch co-op games.
Yeah.
They specialize in co-op games that you can sit down and play with your friends on the same screen, on the same TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they offer online as well. But Split Fiction is one that I really, really like what they're doing with it. It Takes Two has tempted me here and there with some of the stuff. But Split Fiction really looks... I really like what they're doing there with that one. So I'm really curious on it. I don't remember when we're getting it. We got the story trailer on this one, but I don't know when that's getting released. We got a new game called Directive 8020. It is the story of some astronauts who embark on a deadly mission to save humanity, but their ship is infected by an alien life form that perfectly imitates its prey. Yeah, I know. It's coming out in October. Five Nights at Freddy's Secret of the Mimic, coming out on June 13th, which is 1 month away from July 13th. Those of you who don't know the significance of that date, you should watch Con Air.
Mm-hmm.
we also got The Midnight Walk. This looked really good. It's VR. Oh, no. It's both. You can play it in VR, or you can play it as a first-person game. It's a handcrafted dark fantasy adventure that will be released on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation VR 2 on May 8th. It is entirely, and when they say handcrafted, think of your stop-motion animation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the visuals and everything else seem to be hand-built. In other words, they were real-world locations or real-world built structures scanned into, you know, the game, the computers and stuff.
Digitized, exactly.
I love it when games do things like this. I loved Clay Fighter for it, just because of that. I want to say realism, and by that I mean it looks like a real object that has been hand manipulated,
mm-hmm.
like taking the time to manipulate by hand and that sort of thing. And I realize computers can give us all sorts of different animation looks now, to where you can't tell if it's hand-drawn or if it's computer animation or if it's a mix of the two or something like that. But, if you're gonna give me that premise of how your game's built and you're going to make it look that way, I'll buy into it, sure. I'm not gonna try and figure it out from here. I will absolutely buy into it, and I will love what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I do. The Midnight Walk looked fantastic. Darwin's Paradox. I can't remember who did that one. Help Darwin the Octopus escape a food factory and get back to the ocean. That was debuted during this PlayStation State of Play thing. We had not seen it prior to that. Warriors Abyss. That came out the day this launched, so this past week. It's on PS4 and PS5. Didn't look anything interesting to me. Onimusha 2. Samurai's Destiny. We got a release date on this one, May 23rd. It returns with higher resolution graphics and modernized controls. You're going to get more Onimusha. If you ever wanted more, well, now you got it. We also got an announcement of Way of the Sword, which is something that'll get released next year. Onimusha, Way of the Sword. We got a new brand new protagonist out of it. New trailer for that one as well. What else do we get? Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater. Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, the remake of Metal Gear 3. That is getting released August 28th. I might pick that up. It's been a long time since I played a Metal Gear game and felt like I was playing a Metal Gear game. Phantom Pain didn't feel like a Metal Gear game.
Four, I think, was the last one I played.
Four was the last one I played.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four was the last one that I played, so I'm sort of like... Yeah, and that was on PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
So I would not be opposed to going back to Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid 3 I never actually played, though. I did play... What did I play for Metal Gear Solid? I played the first one way back on PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm.
I played the first one. Didn't get all the way through it, but I did play it. Did not play 2. Heard plenty about it. Didn't play the version... Owned the version that was out on GameCube, the Twin Snakes.
Yeah.
But never played it. 3, I never played. And 4, I did play. Mm-hmm. After that, I think I tried playing one of the others, like 5 or Phantom Pain. Or there was like... I can't remember how they released those.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Did not like it.
And you didn't play Metal Gear Survive.
No. What is that? Was that the app game?
That was a bad one.
Yeah.
That was no. one.
That, oh, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Remember the feature that stood out?
No.
Pay $10 for a save slot?
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, no, I never played it. I never played it. Oh. I remember how badly that game was received.
Yeah.
Because of all the crap they put in it.
Yeah, and the paying $10 for a
save
slot.
For a save slot.
Don't ever do that again.
They didn't, by the way.
Yeah, I know they didn't.
I don't know of anybody that's done that since. Mm. Let's charge them to save their game. Sometimes I think they test the waters, right?
Oh, it was, yeah, you got your result.
Yeah.
You got a resounding result on that one. You got a clear, definite result on that one. We don't like that.
We got a new game called Hell Is Us. We got a release date trailer for this one being released on September 4th. And it looked really interesting. I really love the aesthetic that that's going for. It seems horror-like, but I'm not sure. I need to see more, but I really liked what I saw. Lies of P Overture. Some DLC. No, not DLC. It's a prequel to Lies of P. Probably an expand alone,
mm-hmm.
I would think, is what they're going for here.
Yeah.
No date that I know of, but we did get that it would be out on PS4 and PS5.
That's
another one you'll wait for a pack in, right?
Well, I still wanted to pick that up though. Lies of P.
You should. I've really heard good things about
mm-hmm.
it. Very good things about it. What else do we have? Dreams of Another. Pixel Junk. Haven't heard of them in a long time. Pixel Junk Monsters, Pixel Junk Shooter, that the games used to be called back on PS3. Pixel Junk announced a game called Dreams of Another. It turns the third-person shooter into a pixel thing. When you destroy objects, you actually build objects as you destroy them. It was interesting. I liked what it was showing off. Pixel Junk is always a company that I will definitely give the benefit of the doubt to. I played enough of their games and gotten hooked with enough of their games that, sure, they can announce something and I don't really have to see much to be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good at what they do. Days Gone Remastered. This is what I wanted to get to. Not because I'm excited that we're getting a Days Gone Remastered, but... The amount of people who are so extremely passionate about wanting a Bloodborne remaster or PC release is quite strong. And there was rumor that we were going to get that announcement at this State of Play. And somebody in one of the threads or on Twitter or something said, wouldn't it be the biggest gut punch to get a Days Gone remastered, but not a Bloodborne remaster? Bloodborne older than Days Gone.
2015.
Bloodborne more successful than Days Gone.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, we're going to remaster Days Gone.
A game from 2019.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah-huh. $10 upgrade. if you own the game previous. And I guess that'll go same for PC players as well. But yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, who asked for this? Who asked for a Days Gone remaster?
None that I'm aware
of. And why are you catering to that one player? Or to those 10 players? Whatever the case may be, I just don't think that there was demand.
Yeah.
Days Gone, from what I understand, didn't sell very well.
Hmm.
I don't remember it doing very well. I'm not going to say that it bombed because I really have no idea. But I don't think it did very well.
Well, the ratings say otherwise, but you know, can you trust ratings nowadays?
Ratings are fine. Ratings can say, hey, the ratings are great. I'm just talking about how well it did, how it performed.
Numbers-wise, yeah.
Numbers-wise, did it, you know, because from what I remember, Sony wasn't happy with how many it sold. In fact, it didn't blow up like they kind of thought it would blow up. But I could be wrong. I really could be wrong on this. What else do we get? Stellar Blade DLC. Okay. Moving on.
Yep. Crossover with Goddesses of Victory game.
Blueprints. A genre-bending, atmospheric, architectural adventure where you explore an ever-changing manner of 45 shifting rooms. Sounds absolutely like something I would want to play. So, Blue Manor, or Blue Prince, I am looking at you and patiently waiting for your release date and playing your game. Abiotic Factor. It's an early access on Windows PC. It'll release on console sometime this summer. Don't really know much about it. Tides of Annihilation. That seemed interesting. We don't know anything about when it's going to be announced or when it's going to be released because this was an announcement trailer. Excuse me. Metal Eden. Got a reveal on that. Looks like a fast-paced science fiction first-person shooter. Yep. Mind's Eye. Don't know what that is. AI and human greed collide in Mind's Eye. These are just announcement trailers, I think.
Yeah, looks like one of them story games.
Yeah, the next one here, Saros, is from Housemarque.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Sony studio now. It is a spiritual successor to their last game, Returnal.
Okay.
So you're getting, I don't know if you're getting first person, but you're going to be getting, you know, 3D bullet hell, basically.
I thought, was Returnal like sci-fi survival or something like that? Or?
No, Returnal was third-person bullet hell.
Hmm, okay.
In other words, they took your shooter, whatever, your top-down, whatever it is, what do they call those?
Yeah.
I call them bullet hells, but they're called something else.
Top-down?
Top-down gunners, you know what I'm saying. Like Ikaruga and stuff like that. Okay. Like, although
Vert shooter.
Vert shooter type stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
They took that and they put it in a 3D space with you as a player dodging those bullets and fighting back and that sort of thing. Except there was a twist in the mechanic of it of like when you die and how far back you go and to play through it again. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it is like that, but
I'll probably have to look up something on YouTube or something about what it looks like.
It looks like Bullet Hell.
Okay.
So.
No. Looked up the sales numbers, did a Google search on that. It said... For Days Gone.
Yeah.
It was the 19th best-selling game of 2019 in the U.S. According to game director Jeff Ross, Days Gone sold more units than all of Bin Studios' previous games combined. In January 2022, Days Gone director Jeff Ross claimed on Twitter that the game has sold over 8 million units by late 2020.
Okay. I don't know what's good or bad in that regard.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's your games. Those are your games from the State of Play. So, there you go. Yeah, that's what Sony had to offer.
I guess the only thing to stand out for me is Lies of P, because, of course, the DLC for something I want to pick up anyway. And, of course, the Revenge of Shinobi, Art of Vengeance. Well, it kind of fits. Revenge of Shinobi, Art of Vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody made the mistake of ticking off the Shinobi clan again. So, go figure. When will they ever learn?
Going back to the chat room here, Lethal Migraine says that it is now 3 or 4 years after Wolf Among Us 2 was supposed to come out. Where is it? Apparently that's still promised that it's going to happen. We just, they've just been real quiet about it. Tales from the Borderlands, he said, is brilliant. Well, that's good. You know, I'm down for that. Then he says, for 5, we're talking about Metal Gear Solid, Kojima needed money, so he released some short demo that cost like $50, and the full game came a year later, something like that. I remember that. Yeah, it was like Phantom Pain and then Metal Gear Solid 5, or maybe it was 5 was the Phantom Pain. I can't remember. That little short demo thing, I actually played through the entirety of that. But then the game released, and I did not... thrown into the desert, and I didn't like it. I just did not like it. So, yeah. Anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll go over the Dice Award winners as well for our last little segment here. We got music here from the game Squirrel with a Gun. You play a squirrel who has a gun. Like, a squirrel normal size and a gun normal size. Not a squirrel size gun, but a regular size gun. And a regular size squirrel. Squirrel with a Gun. This is the battle theme of the game. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back into In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Crypt Custodian. Track on this one's called Dark Vessel.
Sounds too jovial for a crypt.
It is. Yeah, it's crypt not custodian? A... Yeah. You're just, you know, you're taking care of the crypts.
Yeah.
It is by no means a horror game or anything like that, so... Mm.
Lighthearted crypt supervisor game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you just looked it up?
No, I'm just guessing.
Oh, okay.
Between the music and the name, I'm like, okay.
I feel like if you looked it up, it would probably say that.
Okay.
Crypt Custodian. You'll see. It's not like, you know, it's a cutesy little thing.
I was expecting a job offer or something like that, but no. Okay. Crypt Custodian is a charming Metroidvania Zelda-like about cleaning up the afterlife.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, again, something came out in like August or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, we have the Dice Award, huh?
Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah. Okay. It's got a lot of good reviews there.
Okay.
So.
$20.
Dice Awards took place at some point over the week, and we got our winners here. Outstanding Achievement in Animation went to Astrobot. Outstanding Achievement in Art Direction, Astrobot was not nominated. Black Myth Wukong, however, took home the prize there. Mm-hmm. Outstanding Achievement in Character. That's interesting. Because the winner of this one is Indiana Jones the Great Circle. But Senua from... Senua Saga Hellblade 2 was nominated in there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, given the two, I got to go with Senua on the way the character looked. I mean, I played both, and yeah, I mean, they've got the Indiana Jones look down, which is fine. You can do that because, I mean, there's tons of reference material to go with.
So what is so I'm trying to think what basically that would mean. I mean, look, they got the look down, right? Okay, sure. But what else? The way the character behaves, the way the character
yeah, it's a good. I don't know.
Interacts
don't
with
know.
Others. What else is involved in that?
Mm-hmm.
In that thing.
I mean, they did great with Indy, but Senua from Hellblade just knocks you out of the park, man.
Yeah.
You play that one, and it is, poof. I mean, it's beautiful, beautiful what they did. Outstanding achievement in original music. Astrobot was nominated for this one, but did not win. Helldivers 2, however, took that home. They won that category. Mm-hmm. I am part, well, for one, I haven't played Helldivers, so I don't know. But Astrobot's music is just fantastic. We had another track coming up at the end of the show here.
I haven't heard anybody talk about the music in Helldivers 2, though.
Nor have I.
They have fun playing the game and having the interaction with each other playing and everything, but the music, I haven't heard anything come up about
no,
that.
No.
That was something I just missed, I guess.
Outstanding achievement in audio design went to Helldivers 2
Helldivers
as well. Hellblade 2 nominated. I would have thrown that in there just for the way that the surround sound works on you with the voices and everything else. I would have given it
part
to
of
that.
Its, part of its charm. That's
yeah.
Part, that's what... Made it stand out.
I easily would have given it to that. Outstanding achievement in story. The nominees were 1000X Resist, which I have and I've started that game. I should probably go back and put more time into it. Metaphor, ReFantazio, Still Wakes the Deep, and Thank Goodness You're Here, but the winner was Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. That got the story win. Outstanding technical achievement, Astrobot. Took home the gold on that one.
Big tech demo.
Yeah. Action game of the year. Stellar Blade, Call of Duty, Black Myth, or Batman, or Helldivers 2. And Helldivers 2 took home the prize on that one. Adventure game of the year. Indiana Jones wins that one. Family game of the year. Astrobot. Fighting game of the year. Are you looking at the winners here with
yeah,
me?
I'm looking at it.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know. I was going to throw out and see what you went with. Tekken 8, the winner on that one. Do you agree? You're a fighter game player?
It's the, amongst the community, but it's the biggest title of the ones that I see
nominated,
listed here. So, yeah. Mortal Kombat 1 is real iffy with the crowd, and then Tekken 8 amongst their community, there's some up and down feelings about that game as well, but it's the biggest, made the biggest splash. So, yeah, I can see it winning.
Yeah. Racing game of the year, F1 24. Role playing game of the year, Metaphor ReFantazio. Sports game of the year, MLB The Show 24. Strategy game of the year, Balatro.
Good job.
Yeah. Immersive reality technical achievement, Starship Home. I don't know what that is. Immersive reality game of the year, Batman Arkham Shadow. Outstanding achievement for an independent game, Balatro. The winner on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile game of the year, Balatro. Online game of the year, Helldivers 2. Outstanding achievement in game design, Astrobot. Outstanding achievement in game direction, Animal Well. And game of the year between Indiana Jones, Helldivers 2, Black Myth Wukong, Balatro, and Astrobot. Astrobot takes it home with Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Astrobot's a good one, man.
Yeah.
If you've got a PlayStation 5, and I guess if this thing ever gets a PC release, that's worth owning. Astrobot is worth... It's one of these times when I tell you, you know, we're earlier in this episode, and God, throughout the years of this show, I'm like, I wouldn't pay full price for this. I would wait for a sale, or I got it for this, or don't pay, that sort of thing. Astrobot, if you can get it on a sale, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that was worth the full price of admission. That game is absolutely worth everything that it is asked for. So, great, great game. What else do we have? We mentioned that. Okay, so I haven't read this thing here. It's from Kotaku that says, we basically know when GTA 6 is coming out. When will Grand Theft Auto 6 launch? That's the big question a lot of game developers, fans, and publishers are wondering right now. Well, we don't actually have an official answer beyond fall of this year. Some recent information and news has helped to zero in on a likely release date. It's not surprising that fans are going wild over when GTA 6 will launch on consoles. But it's not just fans who have been waiting as well. Studio and publisher execs across the industry, smaller devs as well, are watching closely because nobody wants to release a game that's too close to when GTA 6 gets released. If you're a week before it, you've got about a week of good run, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think who it was. Was it, Forbidden West?
It was Horizon.
Horizon Zero Dawn?
They had like a week before Elden Ring.
A week before Elden Ring, and then Elden Ring came out, and then just you didn't hear much from Horizon.
No.
Since.
No, you didn't. So nobody wants to do that. As a result, everybody seems nervous about announcing a fall release date for their non-GTA games. And investors and analysts are watching to see if Rockstar's behemoth lands in 2025 or slips into 2026. So, with seemingly everyone wanting to know when GTA 6 will specifically launch, here's a date. October 28th. Maybe. Probably. Likely. Pretty close.
We're just guessing.
Yeah. The author here says, I'm fairly certain that if the game doesn't get delayed into 2026, which Take-Two's boss says that he doesn't think it'll happen, then GTA 6 is arriving sometime in late October. And October 28th is the last Tuesday of the month, a month in which Rockstar has historically released a lot of its biggest games. But that's not just a random guess based on the fall 2025 release window and Rockstar's past game releases. A lot of people at this state of play for Sony, when we got a release date of Borderlands 4, we're like, okay, so GTA 6 is likely not releasing around that area.
Mm-hmm.
The co-op sci-fi shooter Borderlands 4 is set to arrive on September the 23rd. Why does that matter? Well, Take-Two Interactive is the parent company for both Rockstar and 2K Games. So unless Rockstar Games is completely rogue and never communicates with Take-Two leadership, I'd imagine they know when GTA 6 is landing, even if it's just a rough window, and that would likely help inform when they would choose to launch Borderlands 4.
Mm-hmm.
As reported on GameFile on February the 13th, there was a lot of excitement and chatter at DICE during the week due to the announcement of Borderlands 4's release date. And says, look, you know, everyone's waiting for Take-Two and Rockstar to pick a release day for GTA 6. Borderlands 4 is a signal from Take-Two that September 23rd and the weeks immediately before and after are probably safe. You know, that's a good idea. That it's probably not getting released around then, but it'll probably get released closer to the holiday season. So you're looking at late October, early November. Pull out a calendar. That like means that GTA 6 isn't landing in September. Fall starts on September 22nd, and the next day Borderlands 4 launches. So September is out. That leaves October and November. However, historically, Call of Duty has always arrived in November. And while GTA 6 is likely to outsell this year's COD sequel, I doubt Take-Two and Rockstar want that big of a game launching so close to GTA 6. So with that in mind, and based on Zelnick sounding very committed to a fall release date, I think that points to a late October release, while Call of Duty, now owned by Xbox, moves into the middle of November. Remember that Xbox wants Grand Theft Auto 6 to be a big hit, as it's a game that will likely sell a ton of consoles. Because it will be on Xbox Series S, which currently would be the cheapest way to play the game if you don't have an Xbox Series X or a PlayStation 5. The Series S, running at like $250, $300, is going to be your point of entry in order to play GTA 6.
Mm.
Or, no, because it's next gen. It's not getting released on PlayStation 4 or any of the previous consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. GTA 6 sometime in late October. And, yeah, maybe. We'll see. That's when they think it's getting released.
I was trying to compare the others because I was looking at GTA 4, and that was in late April.
It was, yeah.
And GTA 5 was September.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Yeah, I know.
Basically, who knows?
And I guess that'll wrap it up. We got a nice little infographic on Epic Games and what has been releasing and everything else. And I was there's a whole little thing to go over because it's a 2024 year in review for the Epic Games Store. They gave away In 2024, they gave away $2,229 worth of free games through the entire year. Our free game program has continued to deliver PC favorites to new audiences for the fifth year running. Epic players stock their libraries with over $2,000 worth of great PC titles across 89 giveaways. And they will continue to do so in 2025. So, Epic reports that 595 million free games were claimed during the year. So, yeah. Let's see, what else is there? But elsewhere, the data shows that Epic Game Store is still primarily a vehicle for existing Epic-owned and operated hits, like Rocket League and Fortnite. Both were in the top five most played games on the platform, alongside Genshin Impact, Honkai Star Rail, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Grand Theft Auto V. The company reported $1.09 billion spent by 295 million PC players on the Epic Game Store last year. But only 255 million of that went to third-party games. $1 billion and 225 million of that went to third-party games. That means, what, like $7.5 million went into Fortnite and Rocket League and first-party titles, I guess? God, that's a lot. So the Epic Game Store, huh?
Out of a billion?
Yeah.
220-something million?
250 million
yeah, so
went to other stuff.
So 750 million
yeah.
went to...
their own stuff, yeah.
yeah.
Which is likely Fortnite, which is a free-to-play game, by the way.
Hmm.
The Epic Game Store is still very much just a Fortnite launcher with a ton of other cool stuff that you can play around with. But it's certainly not just a Fortnite launcher. And with that in mind, the company also signaled what's ahead for its digital storefront in 2005. The roadmap includes an overhaul of discoverability, new social features, the addition of preloading, and a new download manager, as well as the ability to finally gift games to other people. All of this being done with the intent to seamlessly integrate it across an Epic Game Store mobile app as the company lobbies regulators the world over to force iOS and Android to play nice with it. We'll see if, as that grand vision comes closer to being a reality, the Epic Game Store finally becomes a more central force to be reckoned with in PC gaming. For now, it's still a great place to just snag a ton of cool games for free or launch Fortnite. Or whatever else it is. I logged into it today to grab my free games. The free games that are on offer here is some stuff for Apex Legends, which I didn't grab because I don't play Apex Legends. And I just, nope, not interested. And then F1 Manager 2024. Not F1 2024, which we talked about winning a DICE award.
Yeah.
But F1 Manager 2024 is free on the Epic Games Store. So, all right. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that wraps it up for us. We got in the... let's see.
Doing a roll call?
No, I was just looking at Lethal Migraine because he said Helldiver still has 82,000 players on Steam. I might be one of them coming up soon. I still haven't bought the game, but the price is finally getting into that make an impulse buy situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's finally getting into that $25, $20 range, and then maybe get a little lower. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe find something that dips it a little bit lower, and I can jump into it and see.
In a DLC to pick up?
If there is, it's all free. They have no paid DLC, I don't believe.
Right.
They do Battle Pass. I guess they do Battle Pass. I'm not sure what they offer there.
Mm.
I don't know how it works.
Okay.
I don't know. Lethal Migraine says, in Fortnite, you can now buy sneakers for your characters that cost 20 real dollars. And undoubtedly, a lot of people are buying that garbage. $20 for your sneakers in your game. Listen.
To each their own.
Right. I've said this a million times on this show. I've said it a million times outside of the show. That I'm not ever going to give people crap for what they spend their money on. Because I walk into my house every day. And I see all the crap that I've spent my money on.
Yeah, I got my collectibles too. Yeah.
Right? So I really, I can't throw, that's the glass house and bricks, right?
Yep.
I can't. I just can't. I can't tell you. So.
Yeah. I'm trying to think the highest anybody's paid for a cosmetic.
Oh, I'm sure there's.
Gaming.
I'm sure there's something horrible.
It's got to be a record.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. The highest price anyone's paid for a cosmetic item in a game. Didn't do anything for you. It wasn't like a...
Yeah, it was all cosmetic.
Didn't give you a boost or anything. It's just purely cosmetic. The highest price.
The way you can look at that is go to... Well, if you remember way back in the early Steam store days when there were all these crates and stuff you could get for Counter-Strike Go and for Team Fortress 2.
Right.
And then you could put those on the marketplace and people would buy them. All of that stuff's cosmetic. None of it is to pay to win.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody in there probably did that. They probably sold something that somebody picked up for ever how much money. Yeah, massive. Mm. Massive. And it didn't do anything other than change the look of something, whatever it was. Just so that you could let other players know how much money you spent on what you, I guess. So, all right, folks, that's going to wrap it up. We're going to have a little longer session with this next track from Astrobot, just because it's a fun little track. But thank you so much. No show next week, and we will be back in 2 weeks here. So thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic 2 weeks, and don't forget to check us out on Discord and on Steam and all those other places. Pick us up from iTunes and watch our YouTube channel, and we'll see you back here in 2 weeks. I'm going to leave you with a track from Astrobot. It is called Drakebot. This is the music plays that played when you were playing the Uncharted level of Astrobot. So you'll hear some Uncharted music, but you'll also hear some Astrobot-y futuristic things in there too. Anyway, have a good one, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. We'll be right back.